You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. That brings the time to 15 minutes past 4, and it's time for us to crack open another Life, Love and Fruit salad. Hello, Jeff Kahn.
Hello, Richard Griggs.
Hello.
Good afternoon, the unicorn.
Yes, you know what? I really love summer.
You do?
And I love hot days. It's 31 degrees out there at
34?
The moment. Well, 31, 34, what's the difference, you know?
Okay.
Okay, and I do, but it does come with the downside. It really...
I went home to change. Okay, so I can see it coming. I can see it.
Yes.
I can see in your eyes this absolute amazement that I didn't come in a three-piece suit like I normally do to the studio. But it's 35 degrees and 40 degrees in Paarl, and so no.
It's 31 degrees here, and you still... pitched up in shorts.
Yeah, well,
look, that is a shock to anybody's system.
No, I realize.
The question I want to know is this: do those legs come with a dim switch?
No, that's not very nice, eh?
No.
You know, you got to look after your skin, and you got to do the focusing on the face and everything, and put creams on. And they told you that, and we've spoken about the sunscreen stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they don't.
Because really, the only reason that outside of the weather conditions, the only other reason that you would wear a pair of shorts like that is possibly because you lost a bet.
You know, well, I didn't take any bets. I just did the short thing, and it's a bit weird. You looking at my legs? You know what I mean?
No,
it's a bit weird.
That's why I asked if they came with a dim switch, because it's not like you can't look. It's like they jump out there. You kind of. Goodness me, what was that white flash?
Yeah.
And there you go.
Flash,
you
know, Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, shorts notwithstanding.
We digress.
And, yeah, and I can't see from here, fortunately, because you've got your legs under the desk.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness for desks.
Yeah.
So we are talking this afternoon about all the romantic stuff. I mean, secrets of a great romantic relationships.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a change.
As long as you're not asking for my input, I'm cool with this.
No, I worry about the leg thing, but I'm going to ask your input. Of course I am, because I know that you have sometimes a few good ideas. Sometimes. I mean, not always.
One of them is that I never wear shorts.
Well, it's too hot not to. You know what I mean?
Oh, I have my pride.
You heard that first on Rhone Radio. The unicorn doesn't wear shorts.
Yeah.
Well, never play leapfrog with a unicorn, as they say. So today we're going to talk about secrets to romantic relationships and lasting love, and maybe a little bit of a positive spin on the stuff today. We always talk about what can go wrong and what can go wrong and divorce and all that kind of stuff. And we'll touch on that a bit today. But I really do want to talk about what makes it amazing. What are the secrets to a good romantic relationship and lasting love? And maybe something here just triggers somebody and say, oh, I want to try that, or I want to do this, or oh my word, I'm not doing that, or and that's what I want to get. So let's start with every good relationship starts with dating, right? So we got to start with a dating thing. And when you start dating, I think it's very prudent to be careful of how you go about it. It's not just going out on a date and going on a date, and you can mess people around by doing that. So you got to be intentional and reflect on who you are and what you want. I think that's really important. You can't just go dating sort of like dating. I mean, some people do, and they get into trouble, and then they try and get out of it, and it's a whole big mess. So it's a human condition. So identify the patterns and behaviors that have been holding you back. So that's very important. Why don't you see someone? Is it you've been hurt before, or whatever it is? Your goal isn't to mold someone by meeting somebody and then mold them into your long-term partner. That's not the goal. It shouldn't be. It's to be in a loving relationship. We all want that, okay? So only date those people, and this is very important, because you can't just date anybody. And if you are trying to set a mate of yours up or a friend up, just listen to this as well. Only date those who have your values and goals and want to share them with you. Okay, so those are the people you want to date. Look, the first date, you don't really know. But after 3 months or so and doing the dating thing, you kind of get to know the person, or you should be getting to know what their values are, what they're looking for in life, where they're at with this whole thing. And if it doesn't suit you, then you can, you know, we can be friends. You know, we don't have to pull ourselves through this thing. So the first thing, you need to trust yourself. You need The secret is to find a to find lasting love is to trust your intuition and your knowledge. So you know what people say when you meet somebody, and then they get married or whatever. And I just knew when I met that person, I just knew this was the right person. Well, that's intuition. The other thing you've got to be careful of, you can't hurry love. You can't push it and say, if I don't fall in love with this person by the end of the year, or I don't feel like I could go on with it. But don't give it a time factor. I think that's very dangerous, okay? Because love happens over a period of time, and it can happen slowly. You know, you might like somebody, and you might be infatuated with somebody, but love takes a while to get in. Or you can be immediately in love, and it's fine. But everybody is different. Mm. This is such an individual thing. I just want to say that up front. It's so individual to different people, and it's a minefield, actually, if you think about it, because we're all different. You know, you've got A and B meeting each other, and A is different to B, and then they meet C, and then D comes in, and D's different, and then you marry a Z, and a Z. It's an absolute nightmare. That's why relationships are complicated and actually quite nice talking about when you're on the outside of them, I think. All right, so it happens slowly. And this is really amazing. When I read this, I realized what gets you together isn't what keeps you together. That's interesting. So what you're attracted in somebody doesn't necessarily mean that's going to keep you in that relationship. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. What gets you together, and it could be physical attraction that gets you together, isn't what keeps you together. Okay, there's a lot to that. And the strategies that help you attract a partner aren't the same ones that you support in a fulfilling long-term relationship. Things change, as we know. Okay. So when dating, it's easy to focus and say, do they like me? Mm. Do they like me? But for long-term success, the better question is, are they good for me? Now, there's a big difference between do they like me and do they get on and do we have fun? Okay. Or are they actually good for me in the relationship? So for lasting love, friendship is good, connection is good, and compatibility is good. And love is a contract. And love is not enough. People say, what do you mean by love's not enough? It needs all the other things. It needs loyalty and trust and fun and friendship and going through stuff together and teamwork and all that. I'll get to that a little bit later. But love is a contract. So it's the secret to lasting love is understanding the game. We need to understand the game. And in order to understand the game, you need to understand yourself first. Because if you don't understand yourself, you've got a problem going in, because you can't really relate to the other person, how you are, who you are, what you're feeling. Maybe you hurt. Maybe you're not ready for this kind of stuff. You need to know the game. Let's put it that way. And love is about skill, not so much luck. You say you're lucky in love. Well, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Lasting love just doesn't just happen. Okay, and I want to give some hints of how to make it happen and how to have a fulfilling relationship. You need to be intentional as well. If you want to find lasting love, it's time to start dating intentionally. What does that mean? It means taking a step back and reflecting on who you are as a person. What do you want? Okay, and why dating hasn't worked out for you in the past. Maybe there is something you need to look at and strategize. Because maybe you're making the same mistakes as you go down. And sometimes you make the same mistakes going from marriage to marriage or relationship to relationship. And you haven't looked at yourself. You haven't been reflective. So that's it. So is it? What patterns and behaviors are holding you back? Are you too picky? Are you not picky enough? Okay. And if you're struggling with this thing, ask a couple of friends that are close friends for some feedback and say, listen, hey, I haven't done well here. Can you guys give me any direction or give me any idea of what I'm doing wrong, perhaps in your eyes, as you see it? Okay, so confidence is actually the key. So building the confidence, finding long-lasting love is building your confidence as well. If you're a confident person, you'll attract the right person. You need to know your value to somebody. You need to raise your standards as well, perhaps. Until you meet someone with all three components that are conducive to a fantastic relationship, which is attraction. Of course, you need the physical attraction, attracted to that person. Compatibility, that you have the same values, the same, maybe the same likes. You don't have to have all of it the same, but generally you've got to have the same interests. And a friendship. I think a friendship is really, really important. And if you don't have it up front, Some people say, I would have liked to had, I like to have a friendship before I get involved with somebody. Or you get involved with somebody and just become the best mates ever. You know, that can also, but the friendship is important in either way. So you need to focus on the relationship as well, not on the partner. So whatever you focus on, this is a management thing, whatever you focus on will happen, right? So try and focus on the relationship. Try and work together on the relationship, not just the partner. So commit to creating a loving relationship versus commit to a person. So I want this process to work. I don't necessarily want to change the person I'm with. So that's good. So if you both want the process to work, then it's brilliant. Your goal isn't to mold somebody into your long-term partner. People say, I want to change him or I want to change her to become the person I want. It's to be in a loving relationship. That's the goal, is for both of you to create an environment where both of you can be amazing. Okay, so that's good. So become a good filterer. It means filtering out the kind of people who don't share your romantic goals and your value system. Okay, so that's talking and communication that does that. So you need to sustain all three basic mating drives. Okay, so pick someone you can trust and confide in. This is not dating. You don't need to do that in dating. But when you're going for a partner, a long-term partner, you need to pick somebody you can trust and you can confide in, you can talk to, who respects you. Very important. Whom you find physically attractive. It's important. Who makes you laugh. Now, this is quite an interesting thing. It's not so important for men to have a woman that can make them laugh, okay, or is funny. Let's rather say that is funny. I don't think men really, like a sexy woman or somebody who's sultry maybe or just strong or whatever it is. We don't need funny. But I think women like to have someone that makes them laugh. But for men, not so important. We can talk about that. And then who do you find interesting to talk to? You know, I know my son met his fiance, and they were doing CrossFit together, and they were going out for drinks every Friday or something after CrossFit with the team, and they just wanted to talk to him, and they ended up talking the whole night till 4 a.m, just outside in a car. You know what I mean? They were talking only.
I've got a question for you before you go on to next thing. Here is a question that says, can love run its course? Okay, like friendships. A lot of friendships are just like a moment in time. Can love be that too?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, of course it can.
Yeah,
absolutely. How often have you heard, this is sometimes mostly an excuse when somebody's trying to get out of a relationship, they'll say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. I think it's time for us to, and then it's run its course, right? Okay. And it's okay. It's normal. It can. Obviously, it can. But you can start firing that love up again and try to see what you can do to fire it up if it's not too late, if you're both prepared.
And then Ernie says, nice legs, which probably says more about Ernie than it does about your shorts. Okay, carry on.
Gee, thanks, Ernie. Appreciate that, at least. Yeah, God. Okay, and then you need to look at who will be a good parent for your kids. Now, that's not for the 55-year-olds. This is for the 30-year-olds going out and looking for partners or whatever, assuming, dating.
Yeah. And are we talking about kids that you have now or kids that you're going to have?
Well, it's both, because sometimes you've got blended families. So is this person going to be good for your family, good for your children as well? Because if you're going to be in a blended family, there's certain things you need to give up, and you need somebody in your life that's going to be good for them. And we've heard of nightmare stories that you know, people don't get on with other people's kids. It's probably the second most reason for divorce is other people's children. So you've got to be careful of that. So just be careful of stuff. You know, we're not careful enough, and I've been not careful enough in my life, so I know exactly what I'm talking about here. Then during the relationship, you've got to express your empathy for that person and the way they do their life and the way they go on their life. Control your emotions as well. You've got to focus on the positive aspects of him or her. And focus on the negative stuff, because you start going down the negative stuff, you start moaning, you start doing, then it goes down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down. You might also sustain all three basic mating drives. You need to be intimate, obviously, as regularly as you can. It's not that important later in life, but there are things. Do novel things together to sustain the romance. At least bring some kind of flowers or do something for the person that they like. The other person might, oh, don't bring me flowers. I can't stand it. Well, then don't bring the flowers. You know, take her out for a dinner or a movie. It doesn't matter. Just find something that, that they like. Stay in touch. When I'm in touch, I mean physical touch. You know, you need to drive the chemicals, of course, and have fun together, you know, really important. People who play together stay together, and they say that about training. People who train together stay together, and it's playing. It's doing stuff together. So find alignment on key dimensions. Finding a partner with whom you are naturally compatible in key areas is very important as well. So that's really the start of it. And then you're in a happy relationship. What are the secrets to that? So here we've got a whole lot of stuff. That,
okay, before we go there, okay, we're talking about what we've gone through now essentially is the elements of a successful relationship. But I've heard very little talk of romance. So so what is the definition of romance? Is it these things or is it something different?
I actually think romance is not on the knee with a flower and the champagne and the, all that. It's creating an environment that your partner feels amazing in. And that is, to me, romantic. And being part when they're sick, that's romantic.
So here's a comment here that says, they are the first person you want to tell something good when it happens to you.
Yes.
Okay.
That's your best mate, right? Your soulmate, your friend.
Is that romantic?
That's romantic. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely, that is romantic. I believe that's romantic. It's not the old thing of the I don't know, with a guitar. That's romantic too, but romance to me is going through life together and helping each other through things and celebrating each other's wins and coaxing each other, doing something special for themselves and all of this stuff, giving freedom, giving security, giving hugs 2-3 times a day or once a day. You know, if you're not a hugger, it's fine. Just find something that person feels appreciated with, you know. I mean, marriages don't work today, and there are a few reasons for that. But let's look to secrets of a happy. Let's secret of a happy relationship. Commitment is one of them. Commitment. You need to commit to that relationship. There's no back door until it's absolutely necessary. Okay. Communication. I always talk about communication. Obvious. That's an obvious one. Sensuality is important as well. You know. Repair fights. You know, if you're fighting, I know the book says, you know, don't go to sleep until you've repaired the fight. Sometimes it's not practical. Sometimes somebody needs just a night to sleep it over, and tomorrow morning they'll turn around and give you a hug and say, listen, we had a stupid fight last night. Sorry, love, you know. Repair it. Respect is a big one. Respect each other. Respect is good because you don't say maybe things that you would have said to somebody you don't respect. So respect is a good one. Awareness of the other's situation, when they're feeling down, when they're not great, maybe their mom has phoned and it makes them irritated or whatever. Don't go and start a serious conversation. Be aware. Emotional support for things going right or wrong. Joy is important. You know, you need to also build intimacy. I believe in that. Trust your partner. Very important. The trust. Oh, my God. If you lose the trust, then the relationship thing becomes a bit of a minefield as well. You need to give freedom to your partner. You cannot be micromanaging a partner. It's going to cause chaos in your life. You need to release that person. You need to admire that person for what they've done in their life and who they are as people. Don't have to be CEOs of companies or whatever. They might just be really good at what they do, and you need to admire them. Big thing for me as well here, new one, this one, not a new one, big one, is be a team. I still always brought my family up as we're a team. We will do anything for each other. We won't abuse that, but we will do anything for each other. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. Okay? If you're my kids, if you're my spouse, if you're my whatever it is, I will do it for you. I won't be abused. For instance, I never said to my kids, go and get me a beer, you know, go to the fridge and get me a beer. I never did that. But if I ask something, the kids will always do it for me. And if they ask me, Dad, can you fetch me 2 o'clock in the morning? Because I'm a barman at the Wineland somewhere, of course I will. I'll get up and do it, no questions asked, you know. So be a team. It's fantastic when you're a team, and people can't get into that. Be your own person. Allow that person to be an individual and have individual goals. Dream together, you know, sort of sit and goal set together. Never take one another for granted. This is a huge problem out in long-term relationships and long-term marriages, where sometimes people just take each other for granted. She will never leave me, or he will never leave me. Or she does everything anyway, and I never had to worry, and there it is. All of a sudden, somebody leaves you after 35 years of marriage, and you think, what the hell happened? It was great. It wasn't great for that other person at all. You never knew, and it came as a shock. You know, solve your solvable problems. Now that's an interesting one. Solve your solvable problems. There were going to be sometimes problems that you can't solve, but that's also okay. You know, let's look at some hallmarks of happy and healthy relationships. Maintain a realistic perspective of committed relationships. It's really important that you know the first 3 months are going to have butterflies, but you also know 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, those butterflies are not always going to be there. You know, you're going to go through stuff. You just need to be realistic about it. You need to care about the relationship. You need to care about the person, but the relationship as well. It's like having a business almost. You need to care about your people, but you really need to care about your business. If you think of resistance training, couples may use hard time and challenges to exercise and practice how they get through stuff together. That's important. Spend time together. When you don't spend time together, you lose each other along the way. So the quality time is essential. And it nurtures the emotional and the physical connection. So it's very, very important to spend time together. And especially if you're in a long-distance relationship, you know, you need to make a plan to get to that person and meet with them. You know, it's very important. If you live in different cities, or you work, or travel a lot, or you go to Dubai, or you're on an oil rig somewhere and you're working there, somebody sent in something funny. I can see you're just passing out. We'll get to that now. Couples need to reserve space for their schedules. And quality time is important to build positive memories with each other if you're not together.
So we're talking about quite a deep topic here, the topic of, you know, romance and relationships and all that.
Yeah.
And Guy Weber is taking a lot out of this because he wants to know, he's not quite sure what's wrong with asking your kid to fetch a beer for you.
I think he's going to have a lot of people agreeing with him. Yeah, it's not a problem, but when you use it abusively, I suppose it's a problem. Otherwise, it's quite handy.
The big takeaway is, hey, go fetch me a beer.
Make it snappy. Yeah. All right, another thing I think couples need is regular alone time. I think it's also very important. You can't be with somebody all the time. You're going to irritate eventually. You know, having alone time is important. So, but you need to discuss that with your partner. You know, they might think, oh, well, you try, want to have alone time. You want to be away from me. No, some people just need their own time. And I think most people do. And different couples have different needs for autonomy, I suppose. And it's all good. Appreciate each other's differences. You might be different. Thinking you might not like a lot of people, and your partner might love all crowds of people. You know, you might be completely different, but you need to fit into that person and appreciate that person.
But aren't those kind of issues the kind of things that you're going to be working out in the dating process?
Yes, sure.
Aren't those a lot of those things, and you're going to go on a couple of dates with somebody and realize, well, hang on, they like to be with lots of people, I don't. And maybe that is something that you look at and you say, well, you know, this is not really going to work for me. And certainly my sort of reclusiveness might not work for them. So you're going to be working a lot of these things out in the dating process.
Yeah, but some people don't do that. So you won't go to a date and say, listen, I'm a recluse. I don't like seeing people. On Friday I get home and on Monday I go back to work. I don't like people at all. You don't say that in the first 3 months because you are trying to be, and this is reality, you're trying to be attractive to that person, especially if you like them a lot. You're trying to be attractive. So you won't bring your bad things, but your things that might affect that relationship.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to say that. But you're going to be thinking these things.
Well, you might be thinking it, but the person does the person really know? Or are you just worried about, I can't wait to see you on the weekend, and not really getting down to brass tacks?
Fair comment. Yeah.
Don't expect or try to force a partner to change. This is one big thing here. That, ladies, you cannot change men, okay? And you need to find out before you get involved who they are, because you cannot change somebody. And men, please, ladies, they will tell you you do not listen enough. Listen to the ladies a bit on what they say, in fact, a lot, because that could be a game changer. That could be a game changer. Also, pick your battles.
Mm.
Don't fight for the sake of fighting. It's not it's look, conflict is part of healthy, committed relationship. I think it's important. I'm terrible in it, but I think it's an important part of a relationship, right? But it's also important to accept that some battles can't be won and just let it go.
Mm.
You know, ask yourself, will this matter in 10 years?
Mm.
And if it will matter in 10 years, you carry on and you make it and you fix it, whatever it needs to. If the answer is no, just let it go. You know, just do we need more stress in our life? You know, we've got stress out there, do we need stress in the home? No, we don't. We don't want conflict there unnecessarily. And all psychologists will say to you, conflict's healthy because you get stuff sorted out, you know, when you do conflict. So, but be a connoisseur of communication and listening techniques as well. Very important. You'll pick up a lot from your partner when they are trying to say something and you're talking over them. You'll learn a lot by just keeping quiet for a minute and picking your battles. Well, learn effective communication strategies during conflicts. Very important. Conflict management. Very, very important. Savor honesty. Savor honesty. Now, this is interesting because it's the bedrock of intimacy. So if you're honest and you say how you feel, and some people, when they drive a personality, they say how they feel, it's no problem. When you're an amiable, you hold it for 10 weeks, and then eventually it comes out eventually. Might not be so good for you, but that's behavioral dynamics, and that you can't help that. But it's important to be honest, and when you are talking about it, find a time that you can be honest. Sometimes you've got somebody going at you and shouting at you. You want to say something, but it's just not the right environment. So if you want somebody to be honest, create that environment that person can work in. And then ultimately, signs of internal respect for each other is very important. You have to share your feelings and your opinions, and it's a great sign. Allow your partner to share feelings as well and their opinions, because it is a sign of outward respect as well. And that's kind of it, Richard. I mean, there's a lot to it. I mean, there's so much to building a good, great relationship, and we work on it every day, and we really try our best, but it's individual. And I mean, it's such a minefield, because you've got two people with their own experience, especially coming in, if you're 35 or 40 and you've had relationships before or marriages or whatever it is, you come in with all the stuff as well that maybe you haven't worked out or gone to therapy for, or maybe it's something small. And it comes into a relationship, and then you've got somebody else coming in who is completely opposite to that. And you need to find your way together. But you know, the beauty when you get into that sweet spot and you find your way together and you find the right person, oh man, it can be an exciting journey.
Tracy's made a valid point here. She says, I'm exhausted just, you know, listening to the things I have to do to have a lasting relationship.
Yes.
And listening to it, a lot of what this is comes naturally.
Yes.
You don't need to be as analytical as we have been here this afternoon, or certainly you have, this afternoon in this. This is a breakdown of the elements of it. Normally, a lot of this stuff comes naturally. And if it becomes something that is tiring you, then it's the wrong...
Yeah, it's the wrong person.
Yeah. Mm. So, that is the essence of this. It's broken down into pieces here, but generally, a lot of this comes naturally. It comes subconsciously,
and a lot of this, a lot of these pointers come from research done through many, many years with couples, and doing research on relationships. I mean, there's lots of research that I look up, and you know, these are pointers that come out from so-called experts that say this is the way to go, and all of us have been through our own experience, so we can all write a book.
Yeah.
We can all write a book. Yeah.
In fact, probably a number of books.
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. The one point I did want to pick up on is the fact that you said you should ask your friends, you know, to give you kind of pointers and things like that. So I'm going to give you this. Uh-oh. Okay. Never wear those shorts to a first date. Just take that and use it. Just okay.
Listen, I just want to
wear those shorts on your first date.
I want to thank you.
Second
for that.
Date, third date, maybe fifth date, ninth date, maybe never.
Okay, now where were you when I needed you? Because I think I realize what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
You know, you're a friend and a scholar and a gentleman. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
So okay, much. Now you can go home because we're bored with you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you very much for that, folks. His name is Jeff Kahn. You will find his contact details on the podcast if you go and have a look at that this evening, and you can get hold of him there. It has been another edition of the Best of Life, Love, Fruit Salad, and Fashion. Take care, Jeff.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much, Jeff.